toys, put the blocks away.
Cake away.
We're going back into session. Thank everyone for being here promptly. We now have a timed item at 1:15. Item number 10, it is now 1:15. This is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the application for licensure as a psychologist after a passing score was obtained on the EPPP from Dr. Whitney. This one is a little more complicated, so I will provide a little bit of background. Dr. Whitney has applied for licensure here in Arizona. He has held licenses in three other states. The licenses he's held in Idaho, Utah, and Georgia have all resulted in board actions with a provider practitioner data bank report in excess of a dozen pages. Much of it stems from his work in Idaho, where he voluntarily surrendered his license to practice subsequent to a Blue Cross Blue Shield audit, which suggested some irregularities with a significant number of patients. Doctor disputes the claims, denies liability. But in surrendering his license, it certainly was recorded as a license under investigation being surrendered as a revocation. So it went to the National Practitioner Data Bank. He failed to report those activities on his Utah license and got a consent order there with stipulations, a public reprimand, and what have you. And a similar occurrence in the state of Georgia, where Georgia rules also require he inform the board within 30 days of actions taken, and he did not report his Idaho investigation. The Georgia board also then acted and suspended him and fined him and did a reprimand and probation. Now, he had applied here before, did not make it through the exam, applied to take the exam again, got a passing score, and now presents documentation from the state of Georgia that he has completed his probationary status and is returned to active status with the Georgia board. So he presents before us today with a passing score, an education that matches our requirements, and clearly, having been licensed in three prior states, meets the general qualifications for licensure. So I'll stop there. Doctor is on the phone. I believe. Dr. Whitney, are you there?
I am.
Would you like to make a statement?
Sure. When this initially happened in Idaho, I was given what I would consider not very good legal advice from a high-ranking attorney, because he knew that I was planning on moving to Georgia. At the time when I was moving to Georgia, there had not been the start of the investigation. And so the action against my license was less concerning to Georgia rather than when I filled out the renewal in 2014. My license was actually, it did not have action against it when I applied to Georgia. So I just wanted to say that. But I have learned a huge amount from this entire ordeal, so much so that, I have completely revamped the way that I do things administratively. I do not take insurance, don't plan on taking insurance in Arizona. Fee-for-service works best for me, and have built a very, very successful practice here in Georgia. But my family, having not been through this before, me having not been through this before, moved 2 years ago to Arizona, and they reside in Chandler, Arizona, as it says on my licensure application there. So I've been going back and forth in order to be able to work to support my family. So I am committed and would like nothing more than to work as a licensed psychologist in Arizona.
Thank you, Dr. Whitney. Board members, do you have questions for the doctor? Dr. Flower.
Yes, thank you for being available for questions. You've had quite a few experiences with different licensing boards. From what I understand, looking through the documentation, the license you have currently are not encumbered by any more disciplinary issues. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct.
Okay. Because it looks like there was kind of a cascade of difficulties related to one. And now it appears they're long last.
My lack of understanding, which is my own personal responsibility.
Yes, there are some definitions that are really good to know about surrendering and so forth.
Right. As you look at the complaint written by Idaho, I felt I had covered those, but I nowhere near understood what the ramifications were, and instead of doing my due diligence, I did not, and just it cost me.
Yes, thank you.
Other questions? I'm going to make several comments, and we may not like them, but I'm going to make them anyway. In most of our society, not being aware of the law is never an excuse. I can't imagine telling a police officer that I wasn't aware that was the law and expecting that it's going to be okay. Especially for a highly educated person, someone with a doctoral degree, when the law relates specifically to the profession and the responsibility that we have to know about the statutes, rules, and ethics that our profession operates under. And as with other cases we've heard here today, once you get an advanced degree, once you're in that top 3% of the population and you supposedly know something and have a good knowledge of a very specific area, to not be aware of the implications and ramifications of your behavior in that area, to not be aware of the guiding principles and rules, concerns me. It concerns me at a level of judgment, because the practice of psychology is primarily a practice of judgment. We form into relationships with individuals to assist them in making changes in their lives, and in that process we make an incredible number of judgments. We assess dangerousness, we assess lethality, we assess need and concern, we assess how that person is functioning and how the results of our interventions are working, and all of those things are judgment. And when I see someone who exercises repetitively poor judgment, it may have been springing from a single incident, but it resulted in a string of poor judgment decisions, not being aware in state after state of what's going on. Now, I don't know legally I could stop you from getting licensed in Arizona, but I'm going to say this very loud and clear. You get a license in Arizona, this board is going to be watching you. I do not want a fourth state taking action because of poor judgment. That's my rant. Dr. Brundage.
I do have a question to Dr. Whitney. On May 9th, 2018, you made an application to this board and indicated that you said...
Dr. Brundage, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
I will speak louder. Can you hear me at this time?
Yes.
Okay. On May 9th, 2018, you made an application for licensure to this board. It indicated that you answered no to question 11, which asked if the applicant had made application to other state or Canadian provinces in which the applicant is not licensed. And then you wrote ID license suspended. But then you did clarify in question number 14, 15, 18, and 19. And I understand that you've written a rebuttal to the new to the self-report on other areas. Describe to me how this could have slipped through the cracks for you, that you wouldn't report all of this from every subsequent licensure you sought.
Okay, as I'm repeating the question, tell me if I'm getting it correctly. So you're asking me how I didn't report it to the subsequent state after the Idaho action?
Yeah.
Okay. So how I didn't report to Utah and Georgia. Okay, when the action for Idaho was initiated, I had already left the state of Idaho and was in Georgia practicing. All of the conversation that I had regarding the case was via phone, and I wasn't asking many questions, plain and simply because having gone through the process of the audit and those types of things, I was very crestfallen. In essence, it was my own ignorance in just trying to run from something that was huge. It was absolutely huge, and I just didn't understand that. But the way that it was told by the attorney was you have no desire to practice in Idaho anymore and you're not coming back, then just go to Georgia and practice. You know, just do the consent and stipulation. So in essence, I thought that was the end to it, all right? I didn't go back and check and do the things that I needed to do to make sure that I had finished that. I did do a good job closing up my practice, referring my patients, because I see a very specialized population in autism spectrum disorders individuals, and I'm highly trained in that area. My weakness was in administration and understanding all the steps that I needed to take. I did not report those things because I did not follow up on those things. Now, having had the other opportunities, I will say, and say that in a very humble way, I have gone through ethics training, I have gone through the consent stipulations with Utah and Georgia. I know the law inside and out, and will do so for the continuation of my practice. Never again will I take for granted anything. In fact, I met a guy that does the lectures, and I actually took it in Arizona, where he came out and did an ethics lecture from the truck. And he told me, this is very slippery stuff. This is stuff that you could easily find yourself in trouble for if you do not know everything about the practice, the legal practice of psychology. I, in essence, was cowardly. I wanted to run from it. I was young as a psychologist, less than 5 years into practice, and I made the wrong decision, did the wrong thing, tried to bury my head. I'm a smart guy. I've done a lot of things to educate myself. I made a really bad decision that was followed up less than 2 years later in my reapplication to Utah and Georgia. That will never happen again.
Dr. Brundage.
Dr. Whitney, what kind of guarantee does the state of Arizona have that you won't make a mistake and run?
I think the guarantees you have are in the letters that were written, one by someone that's worked with me for several years at Emory University, where, again, I was credentialed, a Dr. Glenn. And then the other was the head of the Emory Autism Center at one point. And they will tell you, clinically, I'm very, very sound. Administratively, I have a problem. And I'm upset with myself for having it, because now diplomat status, now credentialing, all of it becomes monumentally harder, even though I am trying to get the credentialing board to look at my case. I don't want to be a problem. I don't want to have a problem. I just was very blindsided and very ignorant to this process. You, in essence, what you have is someone that's been retrained and has spent a lot of time and financial resources to make this right. And I am good to go. I'm clear on every aspect of administration in my practice now.
So you're keeping up on things?
Yes, sir.
And you're aware diplomate status was discontinued about 10 years ago?
Well, what I'm talking about is the different diplomat status that you can obtain in your area of specialty.
Correct. The ABAP.
This would be a problem if I were to have to explain this to one of those boards, any number of those boards.
Those boards don't offer diplomate anymore. They're now called specialist certifications, and it's been that way for a decade. Just one of those administrative things to keep up on, sir. I know what you're saying. It's harder to apply for specialty status, but you're unaware of the changes in those rules. All right. Is there any other questions? Dr. Flower.
Basically, another comment, maybe along the same lines, but a key thing that is good to study if you're a psychologist is to read the current rules, statutes for psychologists in the state. They are complicated and they change, and if there's any question, you read through them, you could call board staff, you do consultation, because a misstep can be very precarious. So the ethics training important, but reading the rules, and if there's any kind of need for clarification, get it.
Other questions, statements? All right. The question is, do we approve this application? Is there a motion to act upon it? Dr. Flower.
Yes, I make a motion that the application be accepted and that the applicant be licensed in Arizona as a psychologist.
We have a motion. Is there a second? Dr. Brundage.
May I consult with Ms. Galvin?
Certainly.
Ms. Galvin, under the new universal application and all those things, is there anything that we can provide?
I don't believe this is a universal application, is it?
No, it's 10 years of practice.
Okay.
And he's in good standing currently.
Yes.
And yet we have concerns.
Yeah, so I'm confused about the universal application. Are you asking whether there would be grounds to deny?
Correct.
Okay. So under 32.2071.01, an applicant for licensure shall demonstrate to the board's satisfaction that the applicant has met the education and training requirements, has passed any examination, has a professional record that indicates that the applicant has not committed any act or engaged in any conduct that constitutes grounds for disciplinary action against the licensee pursuant to this chapter, has not had a license or certificate to practice psychology refused, revoked, suspended, or restricted by any state, territory, district, country for reasons that relate to unprofessional conduct, has not voluntarily surrendered a license in another regulatory jurisdiction, while under investigation for conduct that relates to unprofessional conduct, or does not have a complaint or investigation pending before another jurisdiction. So those are your grounds that can be a basis for a denial.
Under universal.
But this isn't universal.
Okay. So those grounds can be basis for denial.
For regular applications.
For regular applications. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's what we have before us
today. He's not universal application.
Dr. Brundage.
Another question for Ms. Galvin. Legally, do you feel that we have enough information that we could deny this application?
would you care to receive legal advice in executive session?
Yes.
Very well. Is there a second to a motion for executive session?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We're back in regular session. At the point we left, we had a motion on the table to approve this application. Is there a second?
Second. Oh, no. I'm sorry. No.
All right. The motion dies for lack of a second. Is there an alternative?
I had something that I wanted to share. I was just reading under the statute. Under 6B, it says that if the board finds an applicant, 6B, if the board finds an applicant committed an act engaged in conduct that would constitute grounds for disciplinary action in the state, or if the board or any jurisdiction has taken disciplinary action against an applicant, the board may issue a license if the board first determines to its satisfaction that the act or conduct has been corrected, monitored, or resolved. Just wanted to share that with the board.
Thank you. Is there an alternative motion?
I would like to, but I need to look at the statute. Ms. Galvin, can you help me? Dr. Bohansky, members of the board, I'd like to make a motion that the application for Tyler Whitney, PsyD, be denied based on Arizona Revised Statutes 32-207101. 3 has a professional record that indicates that the applicant has not committed any act or engaged in any conduct that constitutes ground for discipline action against a licensee pursuant in this chapter. 4 has not had a license or a certificate to practice psychology refused, revoked, suspended, or restricted by a state, territory, district, or country for reasons that relate to unprofessional conduct. And 32-207101-5 has not voluntarily surrendered a license in another regulatory jurisdiction in the United States or Canada while under investigation for conduct that relates to unprofessional conduct.
And Dr. Brundage, could you state for the record the facts upon which you base the motion?
The facts that I base this motion are regarding his surrender to Idaho, his discipline actions in Utah and Georgia. He is currently in standing in Georgia, however, went through an extensive probationary period that he addressed.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Dr. Flower.
Did you read 6B?
Yes, I just, that wasn't what I was going to say. Indeed, we did, and we know about it. But I feel that he could at least be given a probationary license or something, because I feel that he has taken many actions to correct the difficulties. That's why I made a motion to be approved.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might be in the minority because there wasn't a second on my motion, but I think that could be given consideration.
Including retaking the ECCC twice 17 years later.
All right, further discussion among board members.
We need a roll call.
Hearing no further discussion, Ms. Poe, would you do a roll call on the Brundage motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Bohansky?
Yes.
Dr. Flowers?
No.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
No.
Dr. Brundage?
Yes.
Dr. Davy?
Yes.
Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
And Dr. Malott has left the call, so we've got 5 yeses, 1 no, motion carries
for four. Denial. 4-2. Motion still carries.
Okay, thank you. Motion has carried. Staff from the office will be in touch with Doctor in terms of options and what goes from here. Thank you all. That moves us to our final agenda item, which is topics for future meetings. Just an information point I'll put in here. We have a CAC coming up on the 23rd and a special board meeting following that. Everyone's aware? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any other topics for future meetings? Just noting that we had another October meeting and then a November meeting. And okay, hearing none. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So motioned.
I second.
Motion second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for participating in a very efficiently run meeting. We got through.
Good job.
A large agenda, and did so effectively. Thank you all.
Thank you.